From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 31st day of October 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, check the cash grain basis with Matt Bennett, and discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora. We'll also hear from USDA Undersecretary for Agriculture, Bill Northey, about crop insurance and extending the coverage dates. Those will end probably about December 10th, but you may need to check with your crop insurance agent, and more likely you'll need to discuss with them some of the addendums that could be expiring today, like wind insurance, and we'll do all of that on this Thursday afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago at the CME Group, December corn finished 0.75 cents lower today at $3.90. The March at 3.98 3/4 down 3/4. And May futures a half lower at 4.04 3/4. July down a half at 4.10. December corn of next year at 4.05 3/4 down a penny for the day. Soybeans November contract 3/4 lower at $9.16 3/4. January at 9.32 1/4. 1 3/4 lower, rather higher. The March up 1 3/4 at 9.45 1/4. And the May at 9.57 up 2. July 2 higher at 9.67 1/4. Next year's November at 9.71 up 2.5 cents. All of those soybean numbers should have been higher. I think I got you the first couple that's lower. Bean oil futures down 23 cents at $30.75. The bean meal at 304.40 up 2.20. Wheat futures down a half at 5.08 3/4 in the December. The July at 5.23 1/4. Down a penny and a quarter. That for the soft red. The hard red July up a penny and a quarter at $4.49. The live cattle futures down $1.70 for the October at $111.67 1/2. Feeders at $145.95 down 7.5 cents, and lean hogs up 22.5 at $66 even. Crude oil is about $1 lower. Ethanol futures unchanged. Diesel fuel or heating oil is down 2.8 cents, and gasoline on the RBOB is 3.9 cents lower, trading at $1.62 1/2. Natural gas down 6 6/10 cents to 2.62 1/2, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 250 points at 26,880. The U.S. dollar at 97.16, down 0.274. Gold futures at $1,510.90, up $17.70. Now on the line with us to take a look at these numbers, talk about what's been happening in the marketplace, is Dan Zwicker. He is at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us today.
You're more than welcome, Todd.
I want you to give me an overview of what this fall looks like to you. We're really late. Basis is really strong for corn at this point. How do you see it all?
Well, the way I look at it, we're kind of counter-seasonal in a way because the harvest is so delayed. September was a month that you normally close lower, 85 out of 100 years or 8 to 9 years out of 10. This year we closed higher because we didn't have any early harvest pressure. Basically, everybody was waiting around for the crop to mature before the combine started rolling. Now, October is one of these months where you usually make your seasonal low during the first week or first 10 days of October, and then you have a tendency then to strengthen, and you kind of close out the month on a firm note. Well, this year we're kind of opposite of that. September was higher. October was mostly lower. Now the market does appear, trying to stabilize. Corn, put in a reversal. It stabilized. Even though we were down a little bit today, we came back and kind of closed unchanged. You look at the soybeans, they look like they're oversold enough that they're going to try to catch in here. Same thing with wheat. So I think we're kind of in this late September, early October time frame from a historical point of view, but we're technically in a late October, early November time frame. I think the market's going to try to catch in here. It's going to hold in here, and then we're going to probably wait and see what USDA kind of gives us next week. If they kind of give us the revisions and the changes that everybody was kind of looking for the October report. They're going to have more data points to take a look at now. Maybe they'll have a change in harvested acres. Just don't know exactly what's going to happen. But they got more information this in November here than they did in October, and that could be reflected here in this November report next Friday, I guess. But I kind of think we're turning the corner seasonally, and I think we're going to have an up November. Now, December, historically, it's just really difficult to get anything going in December unless you're in a super crop, in a super short crop year situation where everybody's covering their shorts going into the end of the year, because December is all messed up. You know, you have tax consequences, so you got tax selling, you got some people holding, then you get the big funds coming in and out before the end of the year. You get into the holiday mode anywhere from the 15th forward. So the last 2 weeks of December is just kind of, you know, a holiday type mode. So it's real hard to get something going higher, but my bias is that the corn market may be able to get that job done. I'm not convinced that the beans will necessarily go higher, but we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. I do think beans will maybe want to level out before corn does. I think corn's got more room to maybe go up as we go on into January, more so than maybe soybeans. Of course, soybeans is going to depend a lot upon what's going on in South America and whether or not they're having any weather problems. But for the most part, when I look, peers just look at the charts and try to sort out or ignore the fundamental chatter, I think we're getting close to some kind of seasonal upturn in here for the month of November. And then, you know, whether or not that continues into December, we'll have to kind of take one day at a time. But at least initially here, I think we're ready to kind of have a November rally, which I would view as a seasonal upturn. You know, we are making some progress in harvest, but we're probably still going to have a lot of harvest activity going on at the end of the month, end of November. But that's kind of where I look at it from a, at least technical point of view, looking at raw chart data. Seasonally, I got to go along with that. I think the seasonals are up until we go on into the new crop year or until we get into the new growing season. And then there's all kinds of noise. I like gold. If you look at gold, is up sharply. I like the cryptocurrencies. I'm kind of, you know, with this cheap interest rate, slowing economy, I'm kind of friendly the commodities in here because I think there's a lot of money that needs to find a place to go. And I think it may end up going into commodities more so than the equities. I think it's time to take some money out of the equities and start putting it into commodities. They're pretty cheap overall. And so I kind of want to be friendly commodities, at least initially here.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again on our website. Just look for the closing market report at willag.org. That's willag.org. Though you'll find not only that program, but all of our agricultural programming, or most of it in its entirety, including our Commodity Week program. We'll record that today at about 3:30 this afternoon. Our panelists this week, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, and Dale Durkles will post that program to the website by about 6 o'clock tonight. You know, the 2019 season's been pretty darn challenging, and harvesting delays are pushing farmers in several areas up against the final coverage dates for crop insurance. Now, Bill Northey, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, says farmers need to contact their crop insurance agents to get more time to finish their harvest. Having to extend that final date is something that happens regularly, and Northey says it's not hard to do. Farmers can give their agents a phone call, but he recommends written communication like email.
You know, certainly can be done by a phone call. I think I'd encourage producers to use an email or a letter where they can have a date on it. It makes it easier both for the agent to be able to record the date that they received it, certainly record the date for the producer that they made the request. And if they do that, then it just needs to be done by that end of the insurance coverage period. But it can be done by a phone call as well. It's just nice to be able to have a dated paper or email track.
He says there are consequences for not contacting an agent before the final coverage date.
It can absolutely affect coverage if a producer does not get an extension. A producer, typically this is done in a way that a company will decide to extend for a county or not. And so a company may have extended it for another producer. It's still important for each producer themselves to reach out to their agent and the agent to reach out to the companies. But it does put at risk the producer's coverage if they have not notified the agent before that end of the insurance period.
Northey talks about that kind of conditions farmers have to meet in order to have their deadline extended.
What we're seeing in a lot of cases now, just excess moisture out there, even flooding, certainly the snow that has prevented harvest conditions being such that a producer could get out there. So we see it very commonly right now. They shouldn't be the only one in the area that didn't take time to go out and harvest in good weather. This needs to be because of a reason, and there's no shortage of good reasons why folks are not able to get harvested. It is a very common activity, probably more common this year than we have seen in previous years, because we're making such delayed harvest progress in many parts of the country.
That was USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey talking about crop insurance coverage. That coverage does expire probably about the 10th day of December, though it varies from one company to the next, and I'm sure from one region of the country to the next as well. You might want to contact your crop insurance agent to see when your coverage is up, especially if you don't think you'll have the crop harvested in time. The other item, and this one may be more important, is some of those addendums that you have for crop insurance, for instance, green snap or wind coverage, probably expire today. And you may very well want to take some time right now to make that phone call. Let's check now the weather forecast. Mike Tenura is here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us.
Great being here, Todd. Thank you.
I want to start not in North America, but South America this time around, because they've been pretty dry. Can you tell me about conditions there?
Well, it has been very dry across a large part of Argentina and Brazil. About 80% of soybean production was drier than normal over the last 90 days across Brazil. And in Argentina, it's a similar proportion of wheat that was that dry over the last 90 days. And so that means that we need a lot of rain to start wiping out some of these rainfall deficits that have developed. In Brazil, that has kept planting at a fairly slow pace to this point, although it has caught up a little bit over the last 1 to 2 weeks as we started to see some rain. As we move forward over the next 5 days, most of the rain is going to be limited to far southern growing areas of Brazil. And so that will keep the dryness story going for a little bit longer for most soybean and corn areas for that matter. Once we get into the latter part of next week and then further into November, we can see that a cold front is going to move on to the north, and that will start to trigger some thunderstorms here and there. Now, we are looking for decent totals of 1 to 3 inches across most of Brazil over the next 2 weeks, with, again, most of that coming more than 5 days into the future. But even 1 to 3 inches of rain, it sounds like a lot, but it's actually not that much rain for Brazil. Their normal rainfall at this time of the year ranges from 2.5 inches every 2 weeks to 4.5 inches every 2 weeks, depending on the location. So that's a lot wetter than what we're accustomed to in the United States. And it basically means that even though we are going to see some rain coming up, it's not going to be enough to totally wipe out those 90-day deficits. Now, in Argentina, we are going to see some pretty big rainfall totals in the northern growing areas, but most of the crops are grown in the southern areas. So we're going to continue to see the same story there too, where we are seeing a few thunderstorms here and there, but most of the driest areas basically stay pretty dry as we move into November. So the whole story that we have, while maybe not overly concerning at the moment, we don't think it's going to suddenly disappear. We'll still be talking about the same things for a couple more weeks.
On that note, here in the United States, over the weekend, there was rainfall. I think I had about 3 inches in my home in Champaign County. Another inch and a half or 2 inches overnight, though I didn't check it exactly this morning when I came out, for the last 48 hours or so. And if you were north of Peoria and to the west, they had 5 inches in the last 48 hours. And gosh, it's cold and snowing in all those places at this time.
I mean, I'm up here in Chicago, and it's snowing now about as hard as you can ever see most of the times of the year. It's really coming down. Pretty amazing to be seeing this at the moment. And get this, Todd, if we go back in time, it's been wetter than normal for 15 consecutive months across the seven-state region of the Corn Belt. The prior record going back 125 years was 8 months in a row, and that was from 1951 into 1952. So if November ends up being wetter than normal, we're going to end up doubling that streak that had been the prior 125-year record. So this is totally unprecedented, and it's going to continue at least for a little bit longer. We'll see how November works out. But the good news for corn and soybean farmers in the U.S. is that once this rain moves out of the eastern Corn Belt later today and tonight, there's not a whole lot on the horizon. It is going to stay much colder than normal, but it will be a little bit less wet as we move forward. The next chance for significant rainfall is about 7 to 10 days out, and that's across the Delta and the southeast half of the Corn Belt, which is a lot of those same areas that saw some of the big rainfall totals you were talking about. Most of that was focused on Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and that's kind of where that next chance for rain really shows up. Now, there will be some rain and snow showers between now and then, but as far as the heavy stuff, that's going to end here fairly shortly.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you next week.
You betcha. That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net now joins us. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us. I bet you wish that you were in the field rather than in the office this afternoon.
Yeah, it would be nice. But, you know, in the last several days, we've had over an inch of rain or over 4 inches of rain in the places that we need to farm. So, you know, and then we got to look at this nice, pretty snow today as well. So it's been kind of frustrating, I guess, just seeing what we've got going on outside. We don't even know if we can get across the ground right now. We're hoping maybe a couple, 3 days of it settling out, and maybe we can get out there and run.
Maybe, but it's expected to be cold, and evaporation rates are going to be slow, not only here, but across the whole of the Corn Belt. Producers will be stymied, I'm sure. It'll be tough. Any words of advice for them about the combines and running through these fields?
Oh, my word. It's a very frustrating thing. We all know that we don't have a whole lot of good drying days once the calendar turns into November. You know, the thing is for us, you know, a lot of folks have, I guess, tracks, and they've got different setups for combines. The problem is those of us that don't have tracks, you know, we're probably going to make a bit of a mess. And the tough thing is that, you know, that mess isn't going to be something that we're only going to deal with next year. We may have to deal with it a little bit longer. So, you know, the thing is we've just got to figure out the best way to get across where we've got to go. First of all, second of all, you know, if we've got down corn, I mean, that's the first place I want to go because, you know, you get wet stalks and it's not going to fix itself. It's not going to get any better. There are still several soybeans out there. Obviously, we want to get out there and get them. I know a few guys that said as soon as they were able to go, they were going to go get the beans and throw them in the bin if they weren't testing and throw some air on them just to get them out of the field. And I think that's probably the best way to go.
Speaking of going to get them, some of this is going to have to go to town. Basis is pretty strong. There will be some needed sales that have to be made, I'm sure, just to pay taxes and other sorts of end-of-the-year expenses. What should producers do or think about for both corn and soybeans as it relates to basis?
And that's a great question. First of all, on corn, you know, coming into harvest and still today, we've had historically good basis for this time of year. Yeah, basis has not improved on corn, but it's held steady. We haven't seen it widen out throughout the thick of harvest, so that's a really good sign. Market's telling you, hey, we kind of want the bushels now, especially with only a 20-cent carry out to July. Conversely, with soybeans coming into harvest, very wide basis levels. But then, you know, here in the last couple of weeks, we've seen, for instance, ADM Decatur narrow up about 27 cents. I've seen the river narrow up 45 cents in the last month. You know, that's something that you definitely can't ignore. But yet on the same token, you're looking at a carry from November out to July of 50 cents today. 50 and a half cents is where we settled. So the market's basically telling you the basis is improving. So yeah, we'd take some means now, but they are going to be worth more later on. So I think a fair amount of producers put those beans in the bin. And I know that isn't always fashionable, but I do think that some of those beans went in the bin or we wouldn't see the basis continually narrowing up. And so, you know, I think from here forward, if you have to go to the elevator on corn, I certainly want to sell those bushels, probably re-own them if I'm still friendly. But on soybeans, I think either way that you go is probably going to work okay. But if I'm going to give up ownership, I might go ahead and re-own those on a limited risk basis, because until we quantify what this crop's going to be and actually get it in the bin, it's tough for me to get too awful down on the bean market.
What were the big market movers today, if anything?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I looked up to close on the settlement, and we're only down 0.75 cents on corn, and we're a penny off the high. Seemed like a major win on the day. We're over a nickel off the low. You know, soybeans actually settled towards the top end of the range. There really wasn't anything major going on with the market. Very frustrating to start out the day, you know, of negative U.S. Chinese news. Essentially, Chinese saying they don't know if they want to do a phase two deal until they figure out what's going on with President Trump, and that there was a lot of speculation from the Chinese. They didn't know if we were going to follow through with everything, even on phase one. So it's a very frustrating back and forth daily situation that we're dealing with. We certainly have to hope that some simple supply and demand economics work our way at some point. But the thing is, with corn, we've got to get these export numbers better. A little bit better week this week, but still numbers that we need to see improve significantly.
A week from tomorrow, USDA will release the November crop production report, expecting many changes. We have, we got a minute or so you got plenty of time.
Oh, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that frost freeze event in the Western Corn Belt and Upper Midwest was handled. Certainly, there's going to be bushels that were lost. We've heard some good corn yields and bad corn yields. So, you know, I would think the grand scheme of things, if we lost bushels, will be seen next week. I would like to see how they're going to handle harvested acreage. Is it going to come down again? Now, on soybeans as well, I think you could see some production adjustments. But the thing to me is, we're not really going to get a firm handle on this situation until we get into January, even if we figure it out then. I think whenever you have a harvest this late, it takes quite a bit of time to really wrap your hands on exactly what production is going to look like.
Before I let you go, are you dressing up for Halloween with the kids tonight?
Well, I told the kids that I was going to be a stud. That way I didn't have to dress up.
Hey, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, here on the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You may listen to the whole of our program online anytime you'd like. You can find it at willag.org, willag.org. You can also find the Closing Market Report, the Opening Market Report, and Commodity Week as a podcast in any of your favorite podcast apps. You can listen to it live from the website at willag.org in iTunes. You can find it as a podcast at Google Play Store and Stitcher, SoundCloud, of course, in the NPR One app and on Spotify as well. You have a safe harvest season when you get started again. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.